Blog Talk Radio.
Our initial, it's trying to play again. It doesn't want to do that. There we go. Okay, it is Wednesday. It is our Wild and Willy Wednesday, and we have special guest Amy Cavanaugh with us. At least I hope we do. It's like, I hope she's in the queue here. It's like, I'm going to check this out real quick because she's doing chakra classes. Amy, or is that you at 8:05? Hello, Amy? Is that you at 8:05? Okay, that's not her. Because I'm not hearing anything there. Okay, I'm trying to figure out which one she's at here. Let's see. Is this Amy?
Yeah, Hallie.
Yeah, there we go. You're 518. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I am having electronic
problems.
I'm also getting feedback. Hold on one second here. Okay. So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, she's not going to see me because I have to use someone else's
phone.
Oh, okay, no. But anyway, we seem to find a way.
Let's just say the angels always make a path. Angels always open the door. Isn't that nice? They make great doormen.
I just missed because I forgot until you beep in, you can't hear me, and I was screaming, it's me, and 5:18.
Oh, glad you're with us today. It's like, yay. Okay,
yeah.
I'm writing in the chat. So today, you're doing chakra number 5 with us today. Is that right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good deal. And what I want to do, too, is, we don't do this a whole lot. It's like I need to get a better thing that I do here, but it's like I'm going to put out there real quick to get a hold of our Master Psychic Jethro. He is at www.jethrosmith.net. And it's like it'll have all of his other contact information there, but it's 928-284-0437. And he's also Psychic Jethro at AOL.com. And now I'm going to have Amy give us, because I'm thinking it's like since I haven't really gotten a grip on this, but it's like you do Awaken and Claire. Now, is that a Facebook page? Is that a web page? It's like, how do people get
hold of it? Well, it's going to be, it's basically a work in progress. It's basically a work in progress. So right now, all it is a Facebook page where I post my work. Most of my work is for right now. You know, I do Reiki and things like that. Most of my work is really just in writing and teaching and things like that. So once we get we're working on getting some other resources on board, but basically it's an educational service with respect to taking these concepts having to do with whatever we want, spirituality, new age, whatever, metaphysics, whatever word people want to use, and sort of taking the woo-woo out of it, for lack of a better term, just making it practical and teaching people, you know, how to use these things. For example, last night I started working on last week I wrote an article about the chakras and grieving, because I do work with, I'm a hospice volunteer and I'm training to be a hospice chaplain. I work with a lot of bereaved people, and they really get on my nerves because they whine and they don't want to change. And it's on my blog, but it's also going to be published in Huffington Post. It's really about looking at the chakras, looking at grief's impact on all your chakras. And this will be a good way to review. We'll just do a quick review. You know, we start with each of the chakras as we go up, vibrates at a higher level, and our lowest chakra, if we're just going to count the 7, is the root chakra, and that's really our hunt and gathering survival chakra, and that chakra takes a huge blow when we lose someone. I mean, we think of grief as just being a matter of the heart chakra, but if you break down what these people are really grieving, you know, grief is a grief. And I was trying to explain to someone last night, I will allow myself to cry if I'm sad because Keith died or my brother's dying or something like that. I will, but I'm not going to cry because I'm scared that I'm not going to have my rent money. That is not an appropriate reaction. It's an appropriate reaction to cry because of the loss of a human being. But we just have grief, always just this great big ball of everything shitty that happens to us after someone dies. And really, if you break it down, you know, there's a lot of survival. There's survival issues. You may not have the day Keith died. I didn't have any money. It was all in his checking account that I would have been tampering with an estate. You know, there's those kind of issues. Those aren't things you cry about. Those are things you take action about, you know.
Right.
And then going up into the sacral chakra, you know, you've got issues like, I mean, and I remember it was probably by day two, I said to myself, I may never have sex again, you know, or other
right.
thing, you know, having to, things like that. And then when you go up into your solar plexus, which is your sense of self, we think of how much our relationship, how much of our sense of self comes from in terms of our relationships. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and how much different those archetypes are from I'm a widow. Widows sound like useless people that sit on, you know, and have not much to and bide their time till, you know, and bide their time, you know, so you really have to think, well, I mean, exactly, you know, and it is being redefined, but you think of the word widow, it just sounds like you think of like the old lady, black veil, you know,
seriously.
You know, if we're just talking about stereotypes or, you know, or archetypes or something like that. So really, after someone dies, you really need to redefine yourself. I know I had to remember what I even liked to watch on TV because I wasn't allowed to control the TV channel or what I like to eat or, you know, or different
okay.
things like that. So when you break down all the emotions that you go through, when someone dies and assign them to the proper chakra, the grief
right.
becomes the grief becomes manageable. And while you still may be unbearably sad about, you know, so then you're sad about the right things. It is sad that someone, it is very sad that a human, you know, body has ceased to be on the planet. And it's a learning curve as to how that relationship is going to continue, and it has to be redefined and things like that. So anyway, it can be broken down into the chakras. And then when you work with the chakra, you know, through pendulums or dowsing rods or Reiki, you can feel the energy in those different chakras. And what I was working on last night was a series of yoga meditations designed for grief and some of the physical symptoms that are associated with grief, because I've learned after grieving and being around grievers for the past year and a half, you cannot talk your way out of grief. So I think that my point as I ramble on is you can use really these things for any of your problems. Anytime you're really upset about something, really like assign it to a chakra, figure out what is it, you know, is my heart broken? Okay.
Right.
Or is it like this guy broke up with me and now I have no money? That's not a heart chakra issue. Assign your emotions to the right chakra, and then you'll be able to then you'll be able to appropriately deal with it, whether it's eat a strawberry or carry
right.
a piece of jade or, you know, Om, or, you know, whatever you decide to do. And it'll also show you, if you look at the associated physical symptoms and diseases that are associated with these, you can see how holding on to negative energy becomes a toxin, and that's how we become ill. So grief is just another example of, you know, these are just basic, you know, simple truths. If you hold a pendulum over where each of these chakras are, you're going to see energy, you know, you're going to see energy moving around. So, and it's universal truth. It's true whether you're Catholic or Buddhist or atheist. Okay. And that's why I don't really like calling this spirituality, because I think spirituality is tied too much to religion. I mean, this is just sort of practical facts. So that's sort of what Awakening Claire plans to do. Right now, it's just a place where I house my writings and things like that. So,
cool.
So far, we've talked cool. about the root chakra, which is our tribal chakra. One of the things that's interesting about the root chakra that I think a lot of people forget, a lot of people have left their religion of origin, and many for very good reasons. But my new saying, I have all these new saying, and my saying of the week is that Catholicism isn't a religion, it's a race. And the reason I say that
oh, wow.
is it is, I have a story. A friend of mine was helping her friend die of breast cancer. And this woman who was dying thought she was a Hindu.
Oh, wow.
So she read a lot of books about Hindus and did whatever, sat the way Hindus sat and made noises like Hindus make noise. And most of all said, I'm not a Catholic because of whatever the many very valid
right.
reasons to not support the Vatican and the Catholic Church. Well, she died, and my friend went to Lilydale Spiritual Community in New York and had a reading with a medium and reached her deceased, air quote, Hindu friends, and she was having a very Catholic afterlife. My friend
wow.
was outraged. She was so upset. She's like, no, she's a Hindu. And the medium's like, no, she's a cat. You know, she's there and there's me, you know, and there's this and there's, you know, to, you know. So it was full of Catholic, wherever she was, and the messages that were coming through were full of Catholicism. And that's
wow.
because it's in her DNA. That's because the Catholicism was in her DNA, and the Hinduism
wow.
was in her head. And I'm sure she thought that, you know,
right.
I'm sure she thought she was a Hindu. I'm sure she was a very good, you know, just an important message to think about. You know, some of these things that we embrace are, the point is the importance of your belief system and what the difference between a thought and a belief system. So your belief systems are how, you know, in the part that's carried from our ancestors, that's all housed in our root chakra. So I'm doing an awful lot of talking about everything but what I said I was going to talk about, which is the fifth chakra. So I guess we're working up, and then we've got the next one is the sacral, just as a quick review, the next one is the sacral chakra, and a lot of people that think that has to do with sex, which is part of it, but it's really not all. It's really not all of it. It's a raw center of emotions. Like
right.
our tribal
That's
chakra
crazy.
Is really impulsive and instinct.
Right.
Our sacred chakra is the beginning of emotions, and it's where we process relationships, not just relationships with people we have sex with. All of our interactions with other people are processed through there. Then, of course, the solar plexus, that is, like for some of you who haven't been on all the prior ones, that's really where our clairs or our clairvoyance and all of our extrasensory perceptions start. Because, you know, when we get a feeling in our gut, oh, I had a gut feeling about that.
Yeah.
That's intuition. That's the beginning of intuition.
Isn't that also
our
willpower?
Yes, exactly. Well, some of our willpower is also in our throat chakra, which is the fifth chakra, which is what we're going
to
talk about soon. Because it's not, things are never what they seem, right? So your throat chakra, you think it just has to do with what you say, but we say things in different ways other than just words. So the important thing about the
I got to blurt something out here real quick because they're just hammering me. Cellular memory. It's like there's a scan. It's like cellular memory, like that our heart is like that. Every cell in our body has what's called cellular memory. So it's like, would that be like this? The the chakras also, or is that just an organ? I mean,
no,
because the chakras are the energy.
The chakras are the energy, and it's the energy that is coming out of each of the chakras that relates
right.
to each of these different things that are going to affect ourselves.
Okay.
So while we might have, for example, root chakras, that's really where we house all of our unresolved issues with our families and our dysfunctional, you know, early childhood abuse and things like that. Well, that's not going to just affect your spine, your bones, your teeth, these basic core things that are tied to the root chakras. It's going to send all of your cells are affected by this, and all of the cells can, but it's not where the chakras are the centers of the energy, and whatever energy is coming out of that is either going to nourish the body or poison the body.
Uh-huh.
And then again, it would depend on what sort of modality that you were studying, specifically how that all happens. And that's sort of outside of my area of expertise, which is really just general practical understandings of these things. But that is not exactly the same thing. The chakras are just where the energy is. It's where our energy is housed, whether it's positive energy or negative energy, whether the emotions, you know, the chakras are set up to process emotions.
Right.
But usually what happens to emotions is instead of just naturally processing them, we hold on to the ones we like or that do us, we perceive have value, like ones that make us a victim or ones that allow us to be special or
right.
things are too painful to resolve or we don't forgive
yeah.
or things like that. And
right.
Whatever it has to do, you know, whatever it has to do with, the energy of that particular chakra is going to become either blocked or somehow compromised. Chakras can also become overactive. For example, a lot of people who don't have, you know, have real problems with their unresolved childhood issues, root chakra issues, try to overcompensate by operating, you know, in woo-woo land, as I call it, and overcompensate with their intuition and different
right.
things like that. So sometimes chakra energy can either be blocked or it can be overactive. And you can tell either by, you know, through Reiki and some of the advanced, you know, the master Reiki where you learn the body scanning and things like that. You can also tell by putting a pendulum over these places and watching the move. You have to be very careful that you're not impacting the outcome. Just pray first and settle it, or again through dowsing rods or hot and cold and all sorts of things like that. But it's also important to understand that chakras can be overactive as well, and then those can, you know, create, for example, if you had a overactive sacral chakra, you might have some sex or issues or act out with money or something like that. But or if you have an overactive intuition, third eye, which is what we'll talk about next week, you know, you could have a hard time just, you know, living on earth and doing your earthly responsibilities
yeah.
that you were called down here for. So
right.
important to note that chakras can get overactive. So, again,
huh.
moving towards the fifth chakra, which is what we were supposed to talk about today, we have the heart chakra.
Know.
And the interesting thing about the heart chakra, which I learned from James von Prague, that's really where our lower vibration you know, our earthly human chakras, which are 1, 2, and 3, mix with the more spiritual chakras, which is 5, 6, and 7. And they mix in the heart, and that's where we really process our emotions. And for those who weren't here last week, the recording of all these prior ones is available in the Blog Talk archives. So finally, we've gotten to today's chakra, which is the throat chakra. It is the chakra of self-expression and also the chakra of clairaudience, because remember, everything after 3 has some extra sensory components to it. So it is a male chakra, which means that it rotates clockwise, and it's in your throat area, resonates to the musical note G and the sound E. It also, the associated gland with the throat chakra is your thyroid gland, and it controls your jaw, your mouth, your gums, neck, throat, trachea, voice, airwaves, upper lungs, nape of neck, and your arms. Of course, the blue gemstones, there's lapis, aquamarine, blue topaz, turquoise. And the aromas are frankincense, sage, and eucalyptus. It is the chakra of self-expression, inspiration, truth, freedom, surrender of our will to divine will, and truthfulness over deceit. If someone's fifth chakra, throat chakra energies are compromised, they could have a sore throat. They could talk a lot. They could be anemic, have allergies, asthma, tooth and gum problems. TMJ usually has to do with this. Also, interestingly, it is the chakra where addictions are formed, because addictions are really lies. And the verb associated with the throat chakra is, of course, I speak. Some affirmations are, I freely express my thoughts and feelings. I communicate my confidence with ease and grace. And I speak my own truth. Now, a lot of those things are easier said than done. We think that we're speaking, you know, if we say something, you know how they used to say, if you don't have something nice to say about someone, don't say it at all. Well, I mean, if there's something that needs to be said, you know, if there's something that needs to be said and that you have not said it, then you're not speaking your truth. But at the end of the day, it's really, you need to look at why, and we talked about this, I think, in the heart chakra, with the brutal honesty and being careful. You know, you have to look at the motive behind the motive of what you're saying. Are you saying this to bring a solution to a problem, or are you bringing this up to cause a problem? Is someone going to and it's also chakra. We talk a lot about in the another good thing in the heart chakra, we're talking about that the action in the heart chakra that brings upon a healthy heart chakra is forgiveness. The attitude that brings about a healthy throat chakra is gratitude. People always talk about, oh, you should be grateful, and but nobody, kind of like forgiveness, we kind of misunderstand. Oh, we're grateful. You know, are we thankful because someone gave us something, or are we truly grateful? Grateful for the opportunity to solve a problem. Grateful for the lesson a difficult situation brings to us. Most people are grateful when the sun is shining or something good just happens, but it's difficult to develop an attitude. It takes some practice to develop an attitude of gratefulness when things aren't going well. And I think I talked about in a prior session, like 2 weeks ago. Well, I just had a lot of records because I had breast cancer and then Keith got sick. So we got like wiped out financially. And one of the things I hadn't done was dealt with the IRS. And so I got a garnishment notice, which meant I wasn't going to get paid from my paying job. And I honestly was grateful. My first reaction wasn't like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm like, thank God I have an opportunity to resolve that. And I really felt it. And that's the thing about the fifth chakra. It doesn't matter. You know, there's so many people that are exploring spirituality and all of these different concepts that just talk all this stuff, but they don't do the work. They don't change. They just read books and say the stuff that they read in the books, but they don't actually change their mind. When you change your mind, you know, neuroscience is teaching us that when you change your mind, you can actually get rid of brain cells that house negative thoughts and replace them with brain cells that have positive, reprogrammed, appropriately better thoughts that are the result of emotions that were properly processed. And until that change comes about inside, you're not speaking your truth. If we look at, you know, in terms of going back to grief, which is what I had just written this article about, our culture sort of learned to, not really grieve publicly. Couple things happened. First of all, like religion sort of fell apart and families spread out, so we didn't have the traditional sources of support. But then, for those of you who are old enough, when John F. Kennedy died, we had Jackie Kennedy teaching us what I now call the Jackie Kennedy syndrome, which was even though she was just horribly distraught, her husband's brain was sitting in her lap. And 3 days later, she's on national TV, all gussied up with her two little gussied up kids, all acting like the Stepford grievers, you know. So that was not truthful. So at the same time, it's not truthful in a similar situation if she was like one of those, or, you know, I don't know if, not to make these glaring generalizations, but there's always you go to like a old school Italian funeral, there's always someone who's throwing themselves in the grave, usually an old lady, and just making noise. And again, she's not speaking her truth. She's calling a spectacle. Well, now an Irish wake where you drink, and I'm sure a good deal of truth gets spoken with the alcohol. But,
out there.
You know, again,
right.
It's just a matter of, you know, speaking your truth. Now, was it appropriate, you know, was it comforting for the nation to see her not throwing herself in the hole in Arlington Cemetery? Probably yes. But at the same time, it was so sterile and devoid of emotion that it was also, you know, since she was a kind of powerful power of example. It really
right.
sent this collective message that we just don't process our don't process it. So, you know, overreacting,
yeah.
you know, speaking our truth, people who talk too much, just go on and on, that isn't the truth either. They're bogging down the truth with their personal story, and their story's not not important. Or people who think they don't lie because they withhold certain key elements of a story that totally change the dynamics and totally change your opinion of it, but they say that that's not a lie because they did not say an untruth. So it's not just about what you say, it's about how and when you say it. You know, is it appropriate to tell these intimate details of something, you know, to someone? To, you know, some things probably are left for your minister or your therapist or a close friend, other things. So it's really the fifth chakra is the power of our will, and it really the important thing is it's not just what we say, because anyone can say a bunch of nice things. How we say it, it's when we say it, and what it really is the willpower and the choices we make to align ourselves, align our truth with the universe. Are we trying to create drama, or are we trying to create distractions by what we speak, or are we trying to align our understanding with the laws of the universe and the divine will of God. So the other part about the fifth chakra, while we think it's just about talking, it's really about our thoughts as well, because our thoughts and attitudes are going to impact when we say things and what we say, and it's going to resonate in either our body language, which is a big part of the fifth chakra, because remember the arms are tied to the fifth chakra. So the way we hold our arms when we're saying something, putting our hands on our hip when we're talking, or some of those things, those are all expressions of the energy of the fifth chakra. Now, a lot of our fear is housed in our root chakra, but how we manifest that fear and how we act on those fears is really a function of the fifth chakra. You know, there are some fears that are healthy and are ingrained in us to protect us. And then there's other fears that we just either blow out of proportion or create, again, as just some sort of distraction. I am deathly afraid of frogs. I'm still afraid of frogs. And I don't have any idea what it is about. But I have had it since I was a child, and I haven't been able to get rid of it. And it's, you know, it's fine. It's not rational, and it's fine, you know. So I'm afraid of frogs. So if I see one, I walk to the other side. But it's not okay, and it's not a healthy expression of myself if. Because, you know, there's a frog, I make 10 people go someplace else, or, you know, or something like that. Then it's just become, we use our fears as manipulators of others. And that's the fifth chakra. In the fifth chakra is where we, again, take our emotions and express them appropriately. Express them in a way that are not going to hurt others, and express them in a way that's not going to hurt the earth, or and different things like that. this is also the chakra of judgment, and it is so impossible because judgment is ingrained and embedded in our language system and our words. So as long as we're talking in words, we're really, the words we choose are judgmental, because there's, you know, 100 different words that you could use to describe a particular situation. Which one you select, and whether it's emotionally charged, fear-based, love-based, designed to cause distractions or things like that, that's all processed through the energy of the fifth chakra. One of the signs of an imbalanced throat chakra or fifth chakra is talking too much. And sometimes people just talk to create the noise, because as long as they're talking, they don't have to hear anybody else. They don't have to learn anything else. And they can really use it to shut themselves off from the world. And because other people aren't really listening either, it just really becomes noise. So I think it's interesting because it's not just, you know, this is the chakra of self-expression, and while one way that we express ourselves is through words, There is a lot more to it than that. This is the chakra of the truth. And you can say something over and over and over again. You can say it for 50 years and, you know, cover your tracks and make an untruth look like it is the truth. But the truth doesn't go away, and it will eventually reveal itself. So the more that we can let go, and usually what keeps us from the truth is some sort of fear. So each of us should strive to become aware of all of the areas in our life where we are not speaking or acting on the truth, where we're speaking or acting in some sort of manner that manifests, you know, that allows a fear to remain real, or is not aligned with your spiritual path, the divine laws of the universe. Really, our physical life, a lot of people, and going back to this woman who, the Hindu Catholic woman, our physical life, we seem to think our spiritual life is something different, and it's like our thoughts and, you know, the energy and when we see rainbows and our happy thoughts or whatever. But really, our physical life really is our spiritual path. And until we're living a physical life that is in line with our spiritual intentions, we're going to create chaos and distractions, and we are not going. And the biggest thing for me, this is my latest obsession, is we're not going to learn the lessons that we were sent here to learn, and heaven forbid we may have to come back and do it over again. And that's really where I've gotten much more willing to face difficult things and let go of ancient wounds and victim mentalities, and extend forgiveness and be grateful, is that if I finally get the lessons learn them, even the hard and difficult ones. Maybe when my time on earth is over, I won't have to come back. As far as the fifth chakra goes, it's interesting, its location. The throat chakra is between our heart and our mind. And a third eye, which is the next chakra, where our inner vision and insight come from. So it's sort of a balancing act of what we feel and express in our heart and what we think. And a lot of times, while we might have, you know, we know that people, oh, you know, they loved you so much or something like that, something's not getting, somehow the message isn't getting across. So if there's really love in someone's heart, but all this chaos or something is being expressed out, probably a problem with the energy of the fifth chakra and how you are expressing yourself, how someone is expressing themselves. People have a lot of, you know, are being strong-willed. It depends. Sometimes that's considered a good thing, and sometimes it's not. It's considered a bad thing. And also our free will. You know, we have our free will, and that so impacts. You know, and that's outside of the divine order of things, and it may be in line with it, or it may not be in line with it. We were supposed to have free will. That's why that was all part of the grand experiment that brought us here, was to have free will. And it's good to have a strong will and a strong disposition as long as you're making good choices. But if for whatever reason I decide to hold on to fears or ancient wounds and then be strong-willed and exercise my willpower, I'm going to be creating chaos. My life is going to be miserable, and I'm going to make the people around me miserable, and I will not be able to manifest what the universe has intended for me. So, again, this is a part of our choices and the fifth chakra and the way we express ourselves. When you're expressing, a lot of people use their self-expression, their voice, and among other things, to control others. So again, that's something you need to look at when you're doing an audit of the energy of the fifth chakra. Is why are you saying this? Are you saying this to bring peace, or are you saying this to try to control the will of someone else? Are you able to express yourself honestly and openly when you need to, or do you get bogged down in telling all these stories and going off on these tangents and things like that that are about you and your perceived specialness and not about the situation at hand, and they're not truth. The way that we react to guidance from others is an expression of this chakra. Do we just follow the person so that we will keep them happy? Then you are not expressing yourself. You're just being controlled by someone else. And sooner or later, when that control, at some point in time, that control is going to become problematic, and it's going to affect the energy of the fifth chakra. What makes you lose control of your willpower? Again, that gets into addictions. Usually, we rely upon addictions so that we can hold on to a falsehood. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the root of, that's really what the root of addiction is to hang on to some sort of falsehood. Because usually, I mean, if we think of drug and alcohol addiction, it usually starts as some form of self-medication to avoid pain. And our culture is so, we'll do anything to avoid pain. And, you know, and now we've really, you know, medicalized and turned pain is a sign that something needs to change. But if we're not willing to change, what a great opportunity. We'll just become addicted to something, whether it's food, sex, alcohol, prescription drugs, street drugs, whatever. And any behavior, and this is the ones that get really tricky, is when people become, because anyone can look at, you know, someone who's drinking too much and say, oh, addict, bad. But what about people who become addicted to things that are perceived as being healthy, like exercise, or even I've seen people become addicted to Alcoholics Anonymous, where they're using it to, they're just using it to be a willful block between our conscious and unconscious minds. Our unconscious mind is sending us messages. Those messages do not correlate with the messages in our conscious mind, because our conscious mind, that's where we house our fears and our all of those kind of things. And when there is when there's not unity between those two things, we need a block between them. And in comes addiction. We have addictions to thought patterns. We have addictions to political parties and all of those kind of things. Any sort of thought pattern that we just that we just take that isn't really processed, and that we're using to block the obvious disconnect between our conscious and unconscious mind, is an addiction. And we live in a very, very addictive society. We will become addicted to anything we can find, because we don't want to listen to our unconscious mind. We want to avoid pain, whether it's physical pain or the emotional pain of some sort of reality. So Caroline Mice, who wrote many books, but she wrote Anatomy of the Spirit. In this book, she speaks a good amount about the chakras, and she has five things that she says are the greatest act of will in which we can balance the energies of the fifth chakra and speak our truths. Make no judgments, work towards that. Have no expectations. Give up the need to know why things happen. Trust that unscheduled events in our lives are a form of spiritual direction. And have the courage to make difficult choices. It's interesting. It's really the fifth chakra, fifth chakra and the throat chakra. If we had a prayer associated with each of these, I think this one would be the serenity prayer. Accept the things that you cannot change. Change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, getting rid of judgments is very difficult, but we can certainly work in that direction. Have no expectations. I don't know. I think that we always have expectations, and, you know, usually we think of our expectations in terms of them not being met. But when we have expectations, we also limit our opportunity for experience as well. It's not just a matter of we get our hopes set too high. More often, we get our hopes set too low. Give up the need to know why things happen as they do. Death, the widows, they make me crazy. Why me? Why me? As if death is such an odd thing. Like, oh, I don't know. You know, like, why did this, you know, if someone said, why did this meteorite fall in my front yard? Now, that would be a valid why me question. But why did my husband die? He died because he was human, and all humans die. Doesn't mean that it's not very sad and a tragic thing, and, you know, and that we're very sad, but I don't understand why this happened to me. It happened because, like, who else was it supposed to happen to? You know, who? Why was it, you know, why was it not supposed to, you know, oh, but he was so young. He was just this or just that, big deal. You know, of course, you can't talk in those terms, but at some point in time, you have to come to these sort of adult, mature realizations. Again, trusting the unscheduled events in our lives. Everybody, you know, we lose jobs. My son, I remember the day I found out my son was in college. He had had such a problem in high school. He gets into college. He's doing great in college, and then he gets his girlfriend. He gets his girlfriend pregnant. I was like beside myself. I was just, I was like, it was the worst thing. It was the worst. I was so upset. And it's turned out to be the best thing. He's a wonderful father. It's made him into a very mature, fine, young man. So, you know, the universe, God, and again, you know, it's going back to this Hindu lady. I can't stop thinking about her. And wasn't she surprised when she got to him? And was that really figure out what your belief system is. You know, make, even if you choose to believe in nothing, make sure that's what you've chosen to do is I believe in nothing. And I think it's really important. I don't think we have a clear understanding about what a belief system is. I think that, you know, we read things and they resonate to us, and we like them. You know, we're attracted to a thought or an idea, and we think that we believe it. But what I learned from this Hindu Catholic dead lady is that beliefs are far deeper than thought. So that's one of the things I'm really not struggling, but really focusing on is what do I believe? And if I believe something, do I live a life that shows that, you know, that shows that is an illustration that that I believe it, you know? So your thoughts and your deeds. So I think we have 90 minutes, but I am out of things to talk about as far as the fifth chakra, so we can see if we have some questions, and there's always something else to talk about. But
okay.
So why don't you tell us, Kelly, why don't you tell us about this coffee? Because you're not the only person I know that is selling this coffee. It seems to be a new trend, and why don't you tell us why this coffee is so special?
Special because it's got an herb in it that is called Ganoderma, and depending on what source you you talk to, it's been in use for like 4,000 or 5,000 years, and it's really amazing. The gentleman who started the company, his whole motto for the company was he wanted to bring the treasures of the earth to the people of the earth. That's like his goal was really to see earthwise wide. Really awesome and amazing. I was like, going, wow. I mean, he spent like 6 years and his own money in the research of figuring out how to combine herb with coffee to make it healthy. Because he said, you know, when is the last time that you ever heard of a coffee drinker forgetting to drink their morning cup of coffee? Like, you know, never. But when do you, people forgetting to take their prescription pills? Well, like, frequently sometimes, you know. So his thought was, by putting this herb in, that does, it's like, it's amazing. It's and it's an international healthy beverage company. They're in 20 countries. Right now, the United States is the only company or only country that where we have the FDA, of course. And the only thing they really gag us, the only thing that we're allowed to say about it is it oxygenates the blood, it detoxifies the blood, and it restores our pH balance, which is what medical science has figured out is three components of good health for our bodies, for our physical bodies. In other countries, they simply say, this cures, da-da-da-da, and they live. I know for myself, what it did for me is I had lost my eyesight in my right eye. It's like the corneal specialist in Colorado was offering to try to help me get disability for loss of my eyesight, and I was in his office, and I said, well, you know, I really kind of sort of don't want disability. I don't feel like I'm a disabled person. You know, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. It's like I, you know, really don't want to be on disability. And he kind of looks at me and he says, what do you want? And I said, I want my eyesight back. And he kind of looks at me. He's an older guy. And it's like, you know, he was in the generation and era of doctors that took the Hippocratic Oath. Well, doctors don't have to take the Hippocratic Oath anymore, which was news to me. I was like, okay, things you don't find out. So he kind of muttered along. He goes, you got insurance? And I said, nope. So he mutters some more and he says, got a deal for you. He says, how about, he says, I can't in good conscience, you know, just leave an eye like this. Because my whole entire pupil was white. It's like I had no sight in it. I'd gotten a corneal ulcer, and then I got an acanthamoeba parasite, and then I got cataracts. So it's like, really and truly, I couldn't see out of this eye. He goes, how about if I do the corneal transplant for you? And he says, you give me $50 a month for the rest of your life. And I went, how about not? He says, let me think about that a little bit, and it's like, I'll get back with you. So about, and I did. I'm really into herbs, and, you know, it's like, because my belief is God put every good green growing thing on this planet for us to heal ourselves, and I really, truly believe that there is nothing that, you know, the human body can't contract as a disease that God hasn't put an herbal remedy on this planet for us. So it took me about 5 months, and I tried a lot of things, you know, kissed a lot of toads, if you will, you know, didn't find any princes, but I found stuff that, you know, helped for a little bit, and then it would, you know, and then it would quit. So I was like, okay. 5 months down the road, I am driving I got hired by the census, because they didn't look at my eyes. They just looked at my driving record and said, you have a very good driving record. I said, yes, I do. So I was just being afraid somebody's going to look at my face and go, you can't see out of that eye. It's like, no, I can't, but it's like it makes me a really good driver, because I look a lot before I drive out in the traffic. So they hired me, and I was on a run, and I was down in Trinidad, and I went into a coffee shop because a crew leader was down there. You know, that was what her and her husband do, is they had a healthy coffee shop. And I didn't drink coffee. I did not drink coffee before I got into this company, because I didn't like it. It's like coffee to me tastes like nasty, bitter, horrible, blah stuff. So I was never a coffee drinker. I was walking, and the guy behind the counter says, hey, you know, just a thing, here we go. We got a cup of free coffee for you today. And I looked at him and said, oh, thank you very much, but no thanks. He goes, no, it's free. I said, no, you don't understand. I don't drink coffee. He's like, well, why not? It's like, so we have this ensuing discussion. And I finally, he arm-twisted me and, like, got me to try a cup of coffee. It's like, you know, I sniffed it. You know, I was like, well, it didn't smell bad. Didn't have that bitter, awkward taste that I was, you know, or smell what I, you know, you could usually smell, because I can smell that junk. I was like, so I tasted it. I said, you know, it's pretty good, except I like cream and sugar. So they put cream and sugar in it, and it's like, and that's where I started with it. Got out of there. I drove. I had no problem staying awake, you know, because sometimes in the afternoon how you kind of lag, and it's like you have trouble with alertness. I went back the next day and said, okay, I'm in. I don't know what this stuff is, and it's like, I want it, though. It's like, it's really good. But it is. It's just, it's an herb. It's natural. They use gourmet, you know, Arabica coffee beans to make the coffee, and they have it in different flavors. They have latte. They have mocha. They also have hot chocolate if people don't drink coffee. They also have three different kinds of tea right now. They have a green tea and a red tea, which are both of the bag varieties, and then they have a black tea, which is an instant. So, you know, and then failing all that is like, if people don't drink coffee, tea, or hot chocolate, you can get it, the herb, just straight in capsule form. So, and I've known people that have had just amazing turnarounds with their health and different things. There was a young man that had leukemia. His doctor informed him of this. He got on the coffee and the capsules for 45 days, and, you know, which is like just a little over seven, you know, a little over, what, 6 weeks, you know, and that's 6.5 weeks. He had, in his words, a two-day bathroom event. His wife says, he passed something and he thought he was dying. He ran to the doctor because the doctor told him this, because he didn't want to do, you know, chemotherapy or anything. It's like, he's like, nope, you know, I've seen that kill people. So he wasn't doing it. He was looking for the natural remedy. He goes back. The doctor checks him out again. Norman, what have you been doing? And he's like, this stuff right here, you know, and he goes, because you don't have leukemia anymore. 45 days, and he was leukemia-free. There's another gal that was in Pueblo. She had breast cancer. We got her on the set. It was like 6 weeks. She had 6 weeks until her breast cancer surgery. In 6 weeks, you know, she went, got on the coffee, got on the capsule, went back in, and she no longer had a tumor. It's like she went, I mean, she didn't unschedule her surgery, but she went in. It's like they checked her out thoroughly and said, we don't have to do surgery because your tumor's gone. Because what it does, it's what it's been shown to do, is it directly poisons cancer cells. And it's like, to my sadness, I have personally known three people in the past, like, you know, year and a half, 2 years, have died with cancer who would not even try this. And it's like, that makes me really sad, because I'm going, you know, you think if you got cancer, you would at least try something, especially when it goes, this directly poisons cancer cells. Wouldn't you like to at least try it? But people are so sucked into, oh, no, we have to have doctors and this and that. It's like, no, doctors are not that. God helps us, you know, by putting those plants there. So that's what makes this, you know, coffee, tea, and everything, you know, all the product lines so good, is this herb. And it's like, it is. It really is an amazing herb.
That's actually fascinating, because it sounds very similar to, you know, because they're now finding that marijuana is shrinking cancer cell. You know, we think of medical marijuana as so it's the same thing. I mean, it's a herb. It's coming from, you know, so it might not just be you know. So I presume that this coffee, unlike marijuana in many states, is legal. So. It does sound like because it's interesting, you know, and I don't want to get on a soapbox about, cancer, but it is a huge industry,
right.
And it is, you know, we saw this stuff come up with, like, Susan G. Komen Foundation, that, you know, all the pink ribbons, or people are they give the lion's share of the money to drug companies to invent new medications that you have to stay on for the rest of your life. So, you know, they've just gotten, it's just, everyone has to find their own personal truth in healing. But I'm hearing about more people going into the hospital, coming out dead. And people that are doing this, you know, they're taking either this coffee or, you know, the marijuana turning into oil, going to see John. I'm hearing more stories of cancer going away from people who are not relying totally on the existing medical community. So that's fascinating. So how long? So you just started selling this, because my friend just started selling. Did you already say this? Is it new?
Well, what I'll say is, like, the company itself was formed maybe, I'll say, maybe 12, 14 years ago. So it's a fairly new company, but the herb itself, again, is like 4,000 or 5,000 years of use. So it's got a long history, and, of course, it's, you know, came from over in Europe. It's like a lot of history over there. So it's like, when it came across the ocean, it's a new, you know, it's a, quote, new company to us, per se. But it's been in use for thousands of years, and people in other cultures, you know, have understood the benefit and value of this. And it's like, and they, you know, one of the herbs is called the king of herbs. It's called the longevity herb. It's like, you know, it's called a whole bunch of things. And it's like, it's just the effects of what it does on your body, on yourself, you know, and just really helps you, you know, detox and clean out. The other thing that we do tell people is that when you get on either, you know, the coffee or the, you know, any of the products, because that was a good question Jen has, like, is it all of them? It's like, yeah, the Ganoderma is in everything. It's in the coffee. It's in the tea. It's in the hot chocolate. You know, it's in the capsules itself. And that's so, it's like children can take it, because I've known children get off of Ritalin with this stuff. I've known people get off their depression medication with this stuff. I've known people who used to have migraine headaches. I've known people who used to have high blood pressure. I've known people who used to have high cholesterol. There was one lady, amazingly enough, she had diabetes so bad that she had, you know, virtually lost her eyesight in both eyes. She got to feeling kind of poorly, you know, if you can imagine that. And went to her doctor and said, you know, I'm just not really feeling very good. And he goes, well, you know, checks it all out. And says, I got good news and I got bad news. And she's like, okay, well, let's take the bad news first so I can be cheered up by the good news. And he's like, okay, well, I think the bad news is that the way your systems are shutting down, you're probably going to die in about 3 weeks. And she's like, She's like, well, what's the good news? He says, well, it gives you time to say goodbye to your family and friends. And she's like, this is good news. So she's like sitting there going, you know, on my deathbed, my sister brings me coffee. Like, but 18 months later, not only is she not on her deathbed, she is up in front of the group. She is giving her testimonial. She has her eyesight back, and she's not diabetic. They've actually found in some cases, you know, it's like depends on what kind of diabetes it is. Some people can actually take the Ganoderma capsules instead of taking insulin. So it's like it's getting people off the medications. It's getting them, you know, healthy because it balances your body. It's called a smart herb. And it's like where, like in the case of children, it's like if you have a kid that's kind of sluggish, it'll pick them up. It'll kind of speed that system up. If you have a kid who's too hyperactive, it'll kind of balance them out, calm them down, slow them down. It's like my youngest one, it's like when he was in second grade, he could not sit down through the school day. It's like he mostly stood at his classroom, and thank God he had a teacher that was very patient with him. And she said, no, he's fine. As long as he stays at his desk and does his work, I don't care if he stands. It's like, no, some teachers would have really had a cow with this. I got him on this. I just gave him, I gave him one capsule a day. But it's like, in 10 days, she goes, have you been doing something different with him? I'm going, yeah. And she goes, well, he's starting to be able to sit through, you know, through the day at longer periods of time. It's like he's not sitting the whole day, but it's like he's actually sitting down in his chair, you know, for time periods and days. I said, this is good. And she says, this is very good. I was like, all right. So so I have my kids on this stuff, and it's safe. I mean, the coffee is like, you know, quote, safe for children to drink. It's like my kids personally actually love the mocha and the hot chocolate, especially over the mocha is the hot chocolate, or is the chocolate in the coffee, and the latte. So it's like they drink it all. It's like they don't like the black so much unless mom doctors it. It's like I have some of the flavored stuff, but it's like they drink it, and it's like it doesn't matter, you know, what manner you ingest it in. The biggest thing is make sure you drink it just every day. And it's like for mine, it took one packet for my eyes to clear up. It was one packet a day is all I took, you know, one cup a day of the coffee for 90 days. In 3 months, I had my eyesight back. It cleared my eyesight up, and it's like I didn't have to have corneal surgery, and I'm not disabled. So it was very exciting for me.
That's fascinating. I mean, that's fascinating, and I think it's really the coffee and the product is fascinating, but just the, you know, just the message behind it is that we really need to change the way we live. We can't, you know, we need to change the way if we want to survive. People who are, you know, people are dying of cancer in epidemic proportions. I don't remember people dying of cancer. You know, now everyone dies of cancer. It used to be no one ever died, you know, and there's all these different
natural causes.
You know, and the medications, you know, with side effects. Who wants to take a medication side effect is suicide, you know, and we just really need to find, and this goes back to the fifth chakra. You need to find your person, you know, you need to find your personal truth. And, you know, in all honesty, you cannot say you're living a spiritual life with a Big Mac hanging out of your mouth, because it's not of God, you know, and it's those kind of decisions. We seem to think that we can
oh, because, you know, because of money, or we always have an excuse as to why we're going to go to the easier way, but we really do, each of us, and I haven't done it yet, trust me, of transgression lists, but I'm noticing that when I do align my, well, first you got to figure out, like I was saying, what your beliefs are. Let's figure out what my beliefs are, and then I align my life with those beliefs. Things seem to work well. Yeah. But, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's healing or whether it's manifesting some sort of financial security or any aspect of my life. And that's really my goal, is to take these book topics, Eastern philosophies, religions, whatever, and find ways that we can infuse them. They can't just be like, oh, well, that's a nice philosophy. That's the difference between, you know, in college and you study philosophy, but what do philosophy majors ever do with their philosophy degree? You know, teach the stuff. My goal is to teach people how to live, teach people how to, you know, how to live this stuff. You know, you might not have enough money to go to Machu Picchu or something like that, but you can make a spiritual decision not to go to McDonald's. You know, there's in every little choice, and that's the power of this. You know, that's the power of the power of the fifth chakra, is managing our willpower. So that's great. I have one of those coffee machines, so I think I want to get that.
Oh, wow.
The tea, because you probably don't have those little coffee pod things with that, but the tea actually sounds like it would be.
They actually do have a brewed coffee, but it's like they, it's a Jamaican blue brewed, but it's like they take it off. It's like it comes on and off periodically. It's like, you know, when you sign in, you get into the, you know, the retail shopping place. It's like it comes on, it goes off. It's like they're trying to get enough ahead where they can do it, but it's like Jamaica, that was really good. It's like, you know, they will tell you, you know, oh, make it this way, but it only makes this much. But what I can honestly tell you, there's two things here's the remember moment. Number one, make sure when you make this stuff, you've got really good water, because we have discovered if you don't have good tasting water, guess what? You're not going to have good tasting coffee or tea or whatever. The other thing is never, never, never microwave it. It's like, and I was just thinking when you're saying about health, it's like I've done some research on the microwaves, and it's like even though they're, quote, you know, making them healthier for us and stuff, it's like they're not really. Microwave food is one of the things, it's like it chemically changes the composition of the molecules of the food, and it kills it. It's like makes it dead. So if you're microwaving your food, you're making it dead. And it's like, that's the other thing they'll tell you, is never microwave the Ganoderma, because you will kill it. And it's like, and then it won't be effective. So it's like, and even the water, if you're gonna like, you know, make your hot water, it's like, don't microwave it. It's like, you know, if you have to put it on a pan on the stove and boil it, or it's like, you know, turn your water heater up or something. It's like, don't microwave the water.
Yeah,
like,
I gave my microwave away, because I started thinking of little things, you know, little things where I thought I was making unhealthy choices, and I felt like the microwave was, I felt like the microwave was a great big one. You know, think about how much cancer and there is now, and then think about the things that that we didn't have. And, you know, for some people, if you've got like 5 kids or something like that, you know, you may need, your microwave might bring you to a higher, you know, it's not like, find the things where you can make a difference in your life,
right.
you know, it might not be the microwave for everybody. You might have, like, you know, teenage boys or something like that. It would be foolish to get rid of the microwave. But there are so many things that you can – it might not be the microwave for everybody. It might not be McDonald's for everybody. Just whatever, you know, what –
toaster. You can use a toaster oven.
So many choices. There's so many choices. We don't have to make – all good choice. You know what I mean? We don't have to make, even if we just made a few good choices, we would
it's
be, it's better.
Okay.
It's better. So find the, you know, find what all of this stuff, and again, that's my big focus in Awakening Claire, is that it has to resonate. It has to resonate to you. It has to fit into your belief system. It has to fit into your, you know, lifestyle or, you know, your belief system, your lifestyle, you know, your financial capabilities and things like that. But there's thousands and thousands, millions of choices that that we can make. So each of us can make at least a couple that are going to better align us with the universe. And I think that's...
Oh. And are you in chat? It's like Martha posted something. She said, here's a composition change thing. Peanut oil used for food frying, like Chick-fil-A, is not an allergy issue for those with peanut allergy because it changes from the high temperature they use to fry it. And it's like, come on now. Rats, and it just flipped off on me. So can't something out there since. Okay, there we go. And she says she has a peanut allergy child. Since age 6, she hasn't eaten the there and finally can again because we know. Okay. Did I miss something there? So, yeah, something.
Well, again, I mean, and then, you know, going in, you know, with Chick-fil-A, I stopped eating Chick-fil-A, even though I love it and not because I'm such a good person, but I really hard time. I didn't mind them being closed on Sunday, and I actually liked the idea that they ran the company based on a Christian diet because I am Christian. I like Christianity, but I did not like that, you know, they were giving all this money to, you know, anti-gay causes and things like that. So again, you know, make your choice and don't boycott. Don't buy the bumper sticker and boycott and sit in and make a whole bunch of noise and drama about it. Just do it. You know, just don't spend your money there. Your money is a sacred extension of God and how you choose to use. You know, how you choose. Well, money's really a second chakra issue. You have many choices with respect to how to spend your money. So, you know, again, it's so much less talk. There's so many people, you know, we think about the political, so many people, you know, they're for this person or that person, but when it came down to the actual day to vote, they, you know, they didn't vote or something. So maybe it needs to be a little less about the bumper sticker on your car and a little more about the choices that you make. That reminds me of, and then I will close, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving, and I was probably looking at my phone or something like that. Well, this SUV comes up behind me, lays on their horn as if they were a fire truck, and as it passes me, she's got a Namaste sticker on the back of her car. I'm like, what in the world? You know, like, what does that sticker mean to you? I go to yoga class or something. I mean, you know, obviously it meant nothing to her.
if she could lay on the horn with the, you know how some people honk just because, like,
mm-hmm.
you need a little reminder, they can tell you're distracted, and they just tap the horn so
right.
that,
hey, there's a green light, will you go?
Yeah, there's a green light
yeah.
or something, and then some people are like, you are ruining my life, and I'm going to make so much noise, I'm going to scare you and make you miserable, and you will never forget, you know, it was one of those kinds of honks. And I did, and then when she passed and she had that silly bumper sticker on her car, I'm just like, love and light this, you know, and everyone's like, oh, love and light and this and that, and it's like, no, change your thoughts, change your choices, and you know, and because that's when the change is really going to, that's really where the change is going to take place. And you don't have to do it all, you know, you don't have to be, like I said, just a couple of change, you know, a couple of changes will heal, a couple of changes will heal the world. So with that all said, next week, I'll be back. I have to find my phone. It is locked, but I've used the Find Me phone, and it's somewhere in my house, but I can't find it because I'm just overwhelmed.
Oh, no.
I know it's just typical energy issues. But next week, we're going to talk about the third eye, which is our intuition. We'll go from there. And then, so who's on tomorrow, Kelly?
Tomorrow is, let me think, Wednesday. Tomorrow is Linda Irwin, and she is the ET paranormal psychic type person. It's like really amazing. She's actually out here in Idaho, not that very far from me. It's like she's about 100 miles north of Boise, up in a place called McCall, and she's got a website, and it's like, I never can say it right. It's like Continuum, I want to say Continuum X Headquarters, something like that. And I believe that's on Facebook. It's like, I've got to get her to write it down for me or send it to me in email so I can actually get it out there. But just really cool. It's like she's the one that shared with us at www.spaceweather.com. And, you know, you can log onto that and figure out, I think when Blog Talk's going to go down on us because it lets us know when the solar flares are and that kind of stuff. And apparently Rita had to check that out. Right, so she must have been on there checking it out while she was in the chat room with us. I was like, cool. It's like, I haven't gotten the opportunity to go to it yet, but everybody that's gone to it is like, wow, it's really cool. It's like, okay, I've got to get there. One of these days, I want to have a life.
No, she's fascinating. She is fascinating. Fascinating, and she knows what she is talking about. Some of it is a little outside my understanding, but all I know is that I know she's not lying. So, you know, I just let it sort of flow over me, and I think it's just fascinating. One of the things she does, she's a meta psychology, which is a lot, you know, the star seeds
yeah.
and the ABD
right.
set and all
right.
of these people. She kind of helps them come to terms with their specialness and
right.
You know, and find a way to yeah, but she's and last week we went on forever. She had a lot to share. So great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks
Absolutely.
Everybody for listening, and we will talk
yeah.
again next week.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Amy. It's like, yeah, I appreciate it. It's like, love having you on as our Florida mermaid. I just love that. Oh, all righty. Well, and this is one of the shows where, you know, we don't do the conversation. It's like, oh, I do have to share something on my little moment. It's like, this is how angels impact in your life, whether you want them to or not, type of thing. My computer that I have, you know, because I do the birth cards, and it's like I started with books and whatever, but I upgraded to the computer programs, which were fairly pricey. And I've had this old computer that I've babied for a year. And I got 90 seconds to hurry this up. Oh, good. Anyway, yesterday, plugged it into the wall like I normally do, and there was this
pop. And I was like, oh, that didn't sound good. So I unplugged it. And I was like, checked it out. I was like, okay, I'm going to try this again. I plugged it in. And there was another really nasty pop and this acrid burning smell. And I went, okay, I'm, you know, it's like, so I actually tried to turn it on and it was dead. And I was like, oh, no. So university, whoever may be dictating that, it's like, I'm either A, going to have to go back to doing birth cards out of my books and like going, oh, man, that's going to be so much work. Or I'm going to have to find a way to get another computer, call the guy I bought the program from, say, I'm going to beg now, please, would you let me have the programs again? yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I didn't know that. And it's like, the universe is definitely directing me towards different things. So I'm like, all righty then. It's like, yeah, they've been saying it's like, I need to have time to work on, you know, meditation stuff and books and things like that. And I'm like, going, okay. It's like, you know, I've just been having too much fun working on some of the other, because I enjoy the show and doing this. I'm like, going, great. It's like, so I'm going to see if they're going to totally block me from doing birth cards or, you know, it's like, I'd like to say it's a very 10 seconds. Thank you. Or if I'm going to have to run into the bookstore and pay, you know, like $50 for a set of books again, it's like, because my other ones are like 1,000 miles down the road.
But it is. And we have no seconds left. But these energy problems are real. So, you know, again, something that you need to think about is what are you going to do if the solar flare hits and the power goes out for 2 months, you know? How are you going to contact your loved ones? I don't know my kids' addresses. How are you going to? So just, you know, different things. Think about, you know, think about things. And, you know, usually when something goes wrong, like all my energy issues and computer issues and phone issues, they're messages. They're not like, they're not punishment. They're subtle messages. So anyway, so great. Well,
I'm waiting for it to. I'm just waiting for it to cut us off because it will.
Bye, everybody.
We will see you. We'll see you again, Amy. Thank you so much. Okay, and that's a wrap. It's like I'm gonna be in chat here for a few more minutes. It's like after we get logged off and blogged off, it's like it will allow us to stay in the chat room for a little while. And everybody have a marvelous day. And thanks to everyone who came in. It's like. Jeff is like, be sure you tell everybody that we love them for coming. It's like, okay, so big loves and hugs. It's like because my little thing down there in the chat room doesn't let me have anything except a little silly face and, you know, and the laugh face. I'm like, going, loves and hugs to everybody. We're so glad you guys, you know, come by and have been part of our, you know, the Psychics Gone Wild family. And it's like, look forward to being with you guys. You know, it's like this has become part of my, you know, social life and everything. It's like, and I love it. I really do. And we really love you guys for being here. So we will see you again tomorrow and have an awesomely wonderful day.